We are going to be getting to Genesis chapter 28. If you have not turned there yet in the Word of God, that's where we'll be looking this evening. All through the Bible, there were places where men would meet with God. We can start all the way back in the very beginning chapters of Genesis and see how Adam and Eve would walk with God in the garden. They would meet with him until they sinned and were separated from him, and God came looking for them and says, "Adam, where art thou?" God desires to meet with his people. God wants to have a place where his presence is known, where it's felt, and where people know they can gather and meet with him. His people, having a tendency to wander and stray, he gives them a tabernacle, that wherever they are traveling through the wilderness, wherever they go, they would have a place where they could go gather and meet with God in that place. When they finally reach the promised land and get established as a nation, God gives them a temple, the place where God's glory would rest, and they could come and meet with him. I'm saying it's all through the scriptures we see this idea that God wants to meet with his people. He has given to you and I today in this age of grace, in this what we call the church age. He has given to us the church. This is, by God's design, the place where man should be able to come and meet with God. The place where they should be able to gather and know that God's presence is going to be felt. Christ started the church. There's debate as to exactly when and where the church was started, but there can't be any debate as to who started it. Jesus Christ did, and he said that he would build it. He would build his church. We also know that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. We know that he loved and gave himself for this entity, the church. The church should be a place where we can come and meet with God. Today's churches are too concerned about activities, about entertainment. They've become places where we gather and there's a smorgasbord of things available to meet every appetite of the churchgoer today. Come and experience church. Come, and that's what they're looking for, an experience in church. As I was meeting with Brother Boots there in the auditorium of what is going to be his facility, he was showing us some pictures of the non-denominational church that was there, and he talked about how they, he showed pictures, and of course, I said, "Well, you could get away with a lot in your building when the lights are off. you don't have to worry too much about what it looks like when the lights are off and it's all dark in there, and you just have, as I said, you've got to get some purple lights for the stage because those look awesome, man, those purple lights, you got to have those." And I mean, it's all about entertainment today in a large majority of the churches. Praise God, that's not all the churches. It's not just our church. I want you to understand there are churches all over this country, some not too far away from here, where this evening they're gathering, spending some time around the Word of God, and they're longing and hungering to meet with God in that place. And it's not about entertainment, and the songs that are sung are not just about getting together and jiving for a little while. It's about being fed in your spirit with the message of the song we're singing, the music that is put with it. Together they feed your spirit and draw you closer to the presence of God. The ministry of music is supposed to do that. Supposed to set our soul on fire. Supposed to stir us, because music does move you. It is supposed to do that. It's supposed to prepare us for meeting with God around his word. As I was talking to Brother Boots about his auditorium, I was just throwing out ideas about how the main concern, the main thing he wanted our input on was the stage design and what to do with the front of the auditorium, how to lay that out. You know, he says, I'm not the idea guy. He says, I can tell you I like it if I see it, but I need some help. And so we were kicking out ideas. And when I asked him about some screens and if he's going to put up screens. And I threw out the idea of just, what if you just had one screen? Because his auditorium's kind of short. And especially on the sides, if you take away the platform, there's not a lot of room between the platform and the ceiling. And putting the screens on the sides, I said, that would save money. It's half the cost. You would only need one. And you put it in the middle, and it could get up. It would be up a little higher. It would be above your head. You know, what do you think about that idea? And you know what? I respect his answer. He said, I hear what you're saying, and I like the idea of saving money. I like the idea of getting it up, he said, but I just can't bring myself to put the screen as the focal point of the church. He said, I just can't do it. He says, I want to put a cross there because that's what needs to be the focal point of the church. And I said, praise God. I agree with you. It was a dumb idea. Sorry. Yeah, you convicted me. Okay. But you see, it's not about entertainment. It's about meeting with God, about getting and coming together where we gather around the Word of God. And through prayer, seeking God's face, we get to meet with God and He speaks to our hearts. As was prayed tonight in the opening of our service, Lord, we thank You for the conviction that You bring in our lives. So for a few minutes, I want to speak to you about meeting with God in this place. In this place. This passage of Scripture, I would like you to make note of the times where this place or in this place is mentioned as we read through here, and I may comment on a few things as we read, but Genesis chapter 28, starting in verse number 10, we'll begin to read. I'll give you some of the background as we're moving through the text here, but he says, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angel of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God. I want you to notice what's missing here. He says, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. What's missing? Jacob. See, later on in the Scriptures, we see that he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But here we see Jacob coming into the presence of God for the first time, meeting with God in this place. He comes to this place after running for his life from Esau. Because you know the story, he, by the guidance of his mother, they connive together to trick Esau out of his birthright and the blessing from his father. And so Jacob's running. You know, many times in our lives, we have to get to that place before we're ready to meet with God. We have to get to the place where we are in some kind of heartache or some kind of trial or struggle. Jacob was running here for his life, and he had no place to lay his head, so he gathered some stones and set those and tried to get some sleep. Many times it's things in our lives that bring us to the place where we have to meet with God. In verse number 14, he says, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and when thou bring thee again unto this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of to thee. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. And he was afraid, and he said, how dreadful is this place? That word dreadful is the idea, the meaning of fear, but it's a reverent fear. It's a holy place. This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. I've underlined that in my Bible and just put next to that, this is what the church should be. The church should be the house of God, and the church should function as a gateway to heaven. Anybody looking to find their way to heaven ought to be able to come to the church house to find it. Amen. Verse number 18, and Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for pillows, and he set up a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, which you know means house of God. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. This place where Jacob met with God. Bethel, the house of God. God wants you and I to have a place where we meet with Him. First of all, as I'm getting to my points here, but I want you to understand that the church house as a place where we meet with God should be in your heart and mind settled. It ought to be a conviction in your heart that you're not going to forsake the assembly of yourselves together. It ought to be a conviction in your heart that you say, you know what, I know that this is what God wants me as a believer to do, to be in the house of God. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to be in the house of God. Not just as a matter of convenience, not just a matter of I do it traditionally for the most part. Either it's a conviction or it's not. You ought to settle it in your heart. And all these young people, I hope you settle it. You settle it and you say, listen, we're supposed to be in the house of God and we're going to be there unless we are providentially hindered and cannot make it. Just settle it. It's not up for debate. It's not something that we decide on, that we talk about or figure out whether we're going to do it or not. Doesn't matter whether you're on vacation or where you are, you're going to be in the house of God. When we were planning our cruise with some friends, I said, I don't want to take a cruise that goes over a Sunday because I want to be in the house of God. We made sure that cruise was inside of a week, and then even then we stopped what we were doing, and Thursday night Mary and I gathered together and went into our room and we sat down and streamed the service from Hunt Valley Baptist Church and took time, and we spent time in prayer with you as a church, praying as you prayed, stopping and pausing because it's a matter of conviction for us. And when we're on vacation, if it's possible, we try and go to a church, to be in church. Streaming is acceptable in a situation where there's no other option, but when you can, you ought to be in church. You ought to be in church. Brother Boots is telling us about how that the non-denominational church that was there had one service a week. I looked at Brother Taylor. I said, hey, we ought to do that. They just have service on Sunday morning. The rest of the week, nothing else is happening. That's all they met for Sunday morning church, and that's it. I said, man, wouldn't that be easy? As I was preparing this message, I thought, you know what? It'd make a lot of Christians stop being disobedient to God. Because the command is, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. And if we're not assembling, then they're not required to be here. So if we just don't meet, then I got to thinking about it. I thought, you know what? Maybe that's why so many people like these churches that only meet one time a week. Because they feel I've done my duty. I've done what I have to do. I don't know, but I think you ought to, in your heart and mind, settle it with God that this is what God wants, and I want to be there. I want to be there. I want to please the Lord. Let me ask you, how important is church to you? Can you take it or leave it? Say, oh, I know it's good for me, and I like it when I'm there. Amen. But how important is it? How important? You know, you do what's important to you. You do what's important to you. Whatever that might be. Dave Ramsey likes to say, you win at what you focus on. You focus on your finances, you'll win at finances. Whatever you want to focus on. What's important to you? What are you focusing on? As we gather in the house of God, our desire is to meet with Him. And I want to show you a couple things from this text, and we're going to be done. First of all, this was a place of communion. We see that He came and He met with God. And behold the Lord, verse number 13, and behold the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father. The Lord stood above it. He met with God. This ought to be the place that we meet with God. It ought to be a place where we gather together and commune with God, where we spend time in God's presence, and we know that surely the presence of the Lord is in that place. I hope when you gather in God's house here at Hunt Valley Baptist Church that God speaks to you and that you are experiencing the presence of God in your life. I'm talking about meeting with God and having life-changing events take place. I know not every single service that you gather in is going to be that way. But I know that as I look through my life, there's been many services. We're sitting in the pew. The Word of God was being preached, and I communed with my Heavenly Father. I met with God Almighty. He spoke to my heart, and I made a decision that day. I changed some things, life-changing events, things that changed on those days that never went back, things that kept me faithful to God, things that determined the outcome of my life to where I could end up being married to who I'm married to, things that led me through my life to the place where I would end up serving here at Hunt Valley Baptist Church. Because of decisions that I made when I met with God. C.H. Spurgeon, walking to church on a stormy Sunday morning, heard some singing from a congregation and walked into a small country church as a teenage boy. The storm was so bad that the pastor of that church could not make it that Sunday. And one of the laymen, not knowing what else to do, he got up and tried to preach a message. The gist of it was, look and live. My brother, live. Look to Jesus and live. And he looked at the young C.H. Spurgeon and he said, young man, look to Jesus and live. And C.H. Spurgeon met God that day and became the Prince of Preachers in that place. The place where God met with him. D.L. Moody was in an old barn one day where they were holding a service. The preacher stood up and he preached, and you've heard the story where the preacher was talking and he said, the world is yet to see what God can do in and through a man fully, completely surrendered to Him. And D.L. Moody met with God that day and he said, by God's grace, I'm going to be that man. And D.L. Moody shook two continents for God. What I'm saying is, do you have some stories in your life, some times, some places where you met with God in God's house? Where God spoke to you, stirred you? Church should be a place of communion with God, talking to God, letting God talk to us. The messages of God stirring our heart. Being driven home by the power of the Holy Spirit. read John chapter 14 and John chapter 16 and see the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how He teaches us, how He convicts us, how He takes the Word of God and drives it home in our heart. Beloved, we need this house of God, this place, to be a place where we meet with God. And that doesn't just happen because we've gathered. It happens because God's people have prayed. My family and I are currently reading this book by my spirit. We're reading this in devotions. This is the book that Alicia picked. Nothing spiritual in the whole thing. No, I'm just kidding. That book is basically is one story after another about people meeting with God in that place. It's amazing how the pastor talked about how the church family was praying for this particular lady, and she was known to be very hard and cross and just very base sort of person in society and very angry, and they were having revival services and they wanted her to come to the revival services, and she didn't come the first night and she didn't come the second night, and people thought it was hopeless. But then on the third night she came in and she sat down. The pastor said, I could see the look of determination on her face when she walked in the door. I could see it. She had her arms crossed and the defiant spirit, you aren't moving me. And the first night she didn't move. He said, but the second night, God got a hold of her in such a way that he said they had to mop the tears up from under her seat. And she met with God that night, and she stood before a church and confessed to the vile and wicked spirit that she had and turned back to God. Church, these people prayed and sought God. Over and over and over again, he gives illustration and illustration and story after story of men, women, children, people whose lives were changed when they met with God because God's people were praying. We need this place to be a place where we meet with God. We need God's people to pray that it would be so. There's been times in the pew when I just couldn't wait until the altar call. I just was so moved by the Spirit of God that as soon as the invitation was given, as soon as an opportunity was there, I went to the altar and knelt and prayed and met with God, and God changed me from the inside out. That's what I want God to do in our hearts, what I want God to do in this place, in the hearts of His people, to stir us more, to convict us more, to move us more, to draw us into His very presence where we can meet with Him. Do you have times like that are precious to you? Let me encourage you to use the altar. Use the altar. When the invitation is given, if God has stirred your heart, there's something about stepping out of your seat and coming down to an old-fashioned altar and bowing your knees and doing a work with God. When He meets with you, there's something about that. That seals the decision. It makes it real. It's that you're less likely to forget it. And let me just say, you're a whole lot more likely to use the altar in proportion to how close you are to the front. It's just a fact. Because you're all the way back there on the back row, Pastor Gus. And and you think, hey, we're all human. And we're like, man, the altar's a long ways away. I got to walk past everybody to get up there. But, man, if you're sitting on the front row, it's like two steps. You could probably sneak up there. Nobody would even know. The devil does that, so let me just encourage you to use the altar. We want it to be a place that you meet with God. God's house, we see also in verse number 19. Read it with me as you follow along. He says, and he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at first. Verse number 20, he says, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and remnant to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. He vowed a vow to God. The church house should be a place of commitment. It ought to be a place of commitment where we commit to do what God wants us to do, where we come and we commune with God, yes, but as God speaks to us, we commit to Him some things. Has God stirred your heart? Has God moved you? Has God called on you to maybe give something up or to start something? You know, in today's world, we don't want to commit to anything, do we? We have the hardest time just signing on the dotted line. Just saying, oh, I will commit to that. We like to leave our options open till the very last minute. You know, until you say I do, it's not done. You know, the pastor I was reading just before I got to perform the ceremony for Brad and Aaron, I was reading about a pastor that he was standing back there with the groom, and he said, listen, right now you can walk away. Now's your option, man, because here in a few minutes it's done. It'd be a lot better to walk away right now than to find out in a year from now that you've married the wrong one, if there's any doubt at all. So I told Brad, there's any doubt at all, Brad. Aaron, aren't you glad you didn't have any doubts? We don't want to commit to anything today. God calls us and stirs our heart and asks us to give up something, and we say, yeah, Lord, that's right. I should do that. I do want to please you, God. I would like to do that. But we don't come down to an altar and seal it and give it up to God and say, God, by your grace, this will happen in my life. This will happen in my life. This is not going to happen anymore in my life. I'm giving this up for you today. I'm going to put it on the altar and I'm going to leave it on the altar. I'm vowing a vow before you, God, today to quit doing this or to start doing this, to do whatever it is you want me to do, God. As God stirs you, God, you've called me. You want me to do this? I'm committing this to you. Vowing a vow, are you as a Christian able to and ready in that place to vow a vow, to commit? Admissions conference is just around the corner, and we ask the church to commit, to give a certain amount of money for the next year, to give on a regular basis that we might know what we can do as a church. Listen, there's no pressure. You just do what God wants you to do. But you find out and get from God, say, God, what do you want? And when God gives you that, touches your heart with it, you say, okay, Lord. And you commit to do it for the next year. That's what that is. The church house should be a place where we commune with God. The church should be a place where we commit some things. Just commit. Just commit to give it up, to quit, to start, to do whatever it is God's called on you to do. We see also here in verse number 21 and 22 that it was a place of contribution. He said that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. You notice two things there. He says, God, I recognize that anything that I have came from you. And of all that you give me, Lord, I'm going to commit to just give you a tenth. Church is supposed to be a place where we worship God in our giving, where we give to Him. And listen, I don't know, I don't look at the giving of Hunt Valley Baptist Church. I have no idea who gives what. You may be an exorbitant giver. Praise God. I don't know. You may be robbing God tonight. You know, if you give God 10%, you haven't given God anything because that was His already. That was the tithe, and I believe in the tithe, and I believe that if you honor God in your finances, the Bible says He'll rebuke the devourer. You can't hope to be successful financially and rob God as a Christian. You honor God in your finances, and God will bless you in ways that are just amazing. And don't think, I mean, the Bible says to bring your all your tithes into the storehouse. Listen, sometimes Christians want to, you know, send love gifts to different people around the country or different ministries here or there. And they might do that instead of tithing to God, or they give that to God as a, oh, I'm doing this for the Lord. You don't go through the drive-thru at McDonald's and pick up a burger and then go over to Burger King and pay. Now, that's not really a good illustration, because that is payment for services rendered. Yeah. What we're talking about here is the tithe, and that's God's anyway. Yeah. But the church, where you get to serve and work and honor God, and you're fed spiritually and you're nurtured and you have a loving church family, that place is the place where we're supposed to be contributing. That's where the contributions are supposed to be going. This is your church. This is where the contributions are supposed to be. And this is the place where God has met with you, where God has called you, where God has brought you. And I just want to encourage you to be in prayer that God would move in our midst, that this could be the place that God meets with us. That God, we don't just gather and just talk and have good fellowship, but that God would meet with us when we gather, that God would speak to our hearts. That is first and foremost, because to gather without God is a waste of time. We want God to change us. We want God to meet with us and stir our hearts and challenge us to continue to do right. That is first and foremost, that we might have God's presence here. And then we want this to be the place where we gather and, you know, we get to encourage one another in the commitments that we make. We get to help each other. But we ought to be willing to make some commitments to God. This is a place where we get the privilege of contributing to see the work of God move forward. In that place, I hope that Hunt Valley Baptist Church is that place for you, the place where you meet with God. If you keep coming here, I hope, I know every service can't be a place where the Shekinah glory comes down and God's presence touches your life and moves you. I know that not everyone can be that way, but I hope that there are services where the presence of God was so real to you that you find it precious just to come into this room. Amen. Just to be here. Just to say, you know what, I told you my testimony last week. And you know, all these years later, they've remodeled the auditorium at Fairhaven. Doesn't even look like it did when I was there. But I can't walk into that auditorium without thinking about the time I met with God. And God saved my soul. Right next to the pulpit. On that side of the auditorium. I walk into that place and that memory comes, and it's precious to me because that was a place where God changed my life for eternity that day. And I hope that in this room there's times where God meets with you in such a way that just coming into this room is precious to you. Because this is the place where God met with you. Stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Dear God, we call on you to move us. We ask you, God, that we might know that surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I pray, Lord, that you would, as was prayed, convict us of sin, that you would challenge us to give up that which we need to give up, that you would challenge us to surrender to you our will and our lives. And Lord, that we would yield to your will, to whatever you want us to do. Lord, I pray that for the church family of Hunt Valley Baptist Church, that this place would be so precious because we've met with you. And we'll thank you. Be with this moment of invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.